On this episode of the Real Mentors Podcast, we get a little personal by telling our listeners what movies and what characters we identify with and what makes us who we are. We also get into the state of superhero movies and if movie audiences are getting tired of the superhero genre. All that next.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 18 of the Real Mentors Podcast. We talk some TV, some movies, have a little fun along the way, because otherwise, what's the point? Again, let me introduce my two cohorts who will be joining us in our discussions, I guess. First, of course, we got our technical producer, the man with many names, Pugasaurus Rex, the Spaniard, to name a few. George, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up?
Are you excited, dude?
Always.
Yeah, you're very talkative in our... We had our Game of Thrones preview, which is should be out by the time this podcast is out. I've heard your voice is still... Whew, I'm surprised when you don't visit
it. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Still hoarse a little bit from all the silence and impersonation. Yeah.
Have some water, you'll be okay. Of course, we have our head of the girlslife.com studios. I got it right. Mr. Mike Rose, the man beast himself. How you doing, big guy?
I'm good. How's everything?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I want to wish everybody out there a happy Memorial Day.
Why you do that, man? You know? I just sat there and looked at. I looked right across the table at George, and George's eyes rolled in the back of his head.
Oh yeah, they rolled pretty high. He's not gonna do it.
I did it on purpose because you know yes, basically. Because interesting though, because you had a good take on it, and you're right. This isn't exactly a holiday,
right?
Per se, or should we celebrate
this
as much such?
This is the equivalent of Yom Kippur for.
Yeah, exactly.
For patriotic folk.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not a moment to celebrate.
Yeah, it's like Yom Kippur, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the remembrance of, if you will, all those sacrifices and all that.
Correct.
And, you know, allow us to do stupid shows like we do here. You know, the freedom that we have, and we appreciate that. I know, Mike, you were ex-military. Is that correct?
Retired Air Force Senior Master Sergeant.
Okay, so none of this holds a little more meaning than me and George, per se.
No. I mean, everybody has relatives that served in the military at one time
agree.
Or another.
Yeah,
so they're, you know, everybody has given the same kind of paid the ultimate price for defending how great our country is.
Yeah, so. And then that's why I think that it has lost some of its meaning and luster, you know, like with the Memorial Day. You know, it's a day of remembrance for those that have provided the freedoms that we have today. You know, for those that have sacrificed and died in battle basically for us. You know, so there shouldn't be anything happy about it.
This is also that when we used to be the big release for movies was Memorial Weekend. That marked the beginning of the summer season.
Right, now
that's changed.
Already moved that.
It's basically March, April. Right. But Journey's like May. The first week in May, I think it was Captain America was released. That was the big one. But you see, back in the day, that was like the weekend.
That was the beginning.
X-Men Apocalypse was this weekend, right?
Yeah, it came out it came out this weekend. This is Friday or Thursday night. And we actually have a review, which we posted on of course, in the podcast. Me and George did a spoilerific review. Mike, I know you've seen the movie. And I think we all agree that we liked it and wasn't great. It was okay. You know, for what it was. It was a fine X-Men movie. I enjoyed it. You know, it wasn't spectacular.
It didn't set me on fire.
It did. It has some cool stuff in it, but whatever.
There was some stuff that was really good. I mean, yeah. I thought the Quicksilver stuff was kind of cool.
I love Quicksilver. It's just awesome. It's so creative, the way
yeah,
they present
it. But it's not really anything new because they did it last
week. We've seen it, exactly. Yeah. It was good to see again.
It was fun. I like that kind of crap.
It's a good one. If you're an X-Men fan, you like
it. And I think we talked about that. Like, if it's not going to become a crutch, kind of, you know, like everybody waiting for that Quicksilver scene.
That's going to be that jokey.
Yeah,
they're going to do it.
Yeah, like, you know what you were saying? Like, we can't wait for the Quicksilver scene in this one, try to top it.
Yeah, they would try to top themselves, which is fine, but eventually that's going to run its course. But for what it is now, it was fine. I enjoyed the movie.
And I guess the Wolverine
thing
was pretty cool. I didn't like the villain too much.
It was okay.
Wasn't for me. Yeah. At least they didn't try to say he was this because of that. Which is what Marvel usually does with those movies. Even though this wasn't a Marvel per se,
It's not. It's not. No, no,
so
not.
It's not a Marvel.
It's a Fox movie. It's Fox.
Even though the Marvel logo flips.
Yeah,
on the front.
But yeah, right. It's a studio wide. It's Fox, not Marvel.
But that's being said, the Marvel logo flipped on the front of that horrific Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah. I wouldn't have even put our logo on the front of that.
I don't even want to talk about it. I would taint the show with that talk of Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Like, I've had to go to therapy for that.
I'm still in therapy. I'm going away from that. It's funny because I want to kind of do something different this week, at least for the first half of the show and all that. We want to get you guys, audience and fans, or fan, whatever the case may be, a chance to kind of get to know us a little more.
I think our fan, my mother.
We love her. I get a chance to kind of get to know each other and I guess see what makes us tick in a way. And we're related back to movies because this is what we do. Because funny, I had a friend ask me, like, why do I do the show? Because, you know, we're not making money off the show. And I was like, it's not about money. It's just about having fun. We have three guys who like to talk about movies. You know,
we enjoy it. Good and we have a
exactly.
Good time.
It's fun.
It.
And we watch movies. We all love movies for one reason or another. I think most people, the casual fan, just goes to the movies just for the pure entertainment of it. And in essence, that's what it's about. Movies are entertainment. I get it. And for the most part, they don't care who's in it, who's directing. They don't give a shit or the story behind it or whatever. They just want to go be entertained for 2 hours, get some popcorn, nachos, and get out. For myself, I won't speak for you guys, but for myself, it goes more than that. You know, I consider movies an art form, you know, more or less, just like music is and on any paintings or whatever. It is what it is. It's a creative process and involves many of folks, writers and directors and actors. And for me, it's beyond just entertainment. Yeah, I want to be entertained, but I like a good story. I like a good written story. I like to see it on screen. I have a movie give us something that we can attach ourselves to, characters that you're going to cheer for and we get invested in there. When I just did a waste 2 hours of our time on lies. And of course, so much so that we don't want to talk about it. We get on these, you know, these shows and talk about, you know, Captain America and he's awesome, blah, blah, blah. We do our badass tournaments and all that. George, like, what is for you, like, movies itself? What is that? Why do you go to the movies? What is it that you like about that?
Well,
you know,
having
a good time, you know?
Well, obviously, yeah, people go for the entertainment purposes, whatever. But, you know, like I said, I always, you know, I like literature, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know I've said it before, but, you know, I have a Spanish degree in literature. So I like to see how the books are interpreted into a movie.
Okay.
You know, to see if they take justice to what is being written on paper. Now, they always say books are better, but sometimes, you know, like, movies kind of live up to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what sometimes why I go. You know, I want to see that sometimes how the pictures in your head kind of match what the director sees. And I think that's why we kind of do this podcast too, to kind of see, like, what if some people share the same views that you do and kind of like what it's going on. You know, like, if what you see, it's out there. And I think that's why we go to the movies and we do things like this. You know, we try to talk, see if maybe somebody out there listens to us and see that our opinions or what's going on, if they agree or disagree or, you know, just like that. So, I mean, I go to the movies just, like I said, not only to be entertained, but to see if sometimes what you read on paper is what you see in the screen.
Fair enough.
What about you, Mike? Characters that you can identify with.
No, I'm in kind of a little removed from him. I like stuff that I like. Mm-hmm. I have my movies that I think describe who I am are vastly different. They're not all, you know, if you talk to a movie critic or you talk to some jabroni that is a Mr. Movies, you're going to say, what's your favorite movies? And they're going to go, oh, no problem. That's
Citizen Kane.
No. It's like Citizen Kane, The Shawshank Redemption, and Godfather Part 1.
Great movies, though.
Okay, no, all great movies. Not, I don't have an issue with any of those movies, but they don't describe me. And I think that's what's interesting about what we're going to talk about, because I think that, you know, look, a lot of my comedy comes from watching movies and going like, wow, that's really funny, and then kind of, you know, building on that. And I think that, you know, some of the best movies, great movie, I'm just going to throw it out there for us to talk about, is The Truman Show. I think The Truman Show is one of those movies that is, like, special because, not because it's the greatest movie that was ever made, it's not, but it not only does it describe the future, but there's so many little nuances in that movie that are funny, that make you think, that hear, like, I'll use an example. The main character's Truman you know, his name is Truman, is played by Jim Carrey, the director of the show, which is never met by Truman.
Ed Harris, right? Yeah.
Ed Harris.
Yeah.
And I think his name is Hans in the movie. I think that's his name. I'm pretty sure that's his name. Is asked.
You're talking about Ed Harris' character?
Ed Harris' character. Yeah. He's asked, well, don't you feel like you're looking into this guy's movie? How would you feel if somebody was looking into your movie? And he says, well, I'm a very private person.
His name is Christoph.
Christoph. That's what it was. I knew it was one of those German names.
And it's true, because I think what we see now, what year was that, my George?
It was 1998.
Okay, 98. And this is when they've been getting the whole reality TV, quote unquote, movement. And now
they had EdTV. You know, that was another one.
That's
not
where it came out. Yeah.
But it kind of predicted that this like the pseudo reality shows that are like on Bravo or on E, like the Kardashians, are not really reality TV shows. It's fake.
Yeah.
It's all actors and actresses.
It's manipulated stage.
It's all scripted.
You're manipulating the environment. And that's exactly the same thing as what's in the Truman Show. And I just think if you watch it, that show requires several watches just to catch all the cool crap in there and all the stuff that comes, you know, before actually what comes. So I just think it's very prophetic. I think it's a very funny movie. There's a lot of great actors and actresses in it. The guy that plays Biff in Back to the Future plays his best friend. Yeah. Ed Harris, who's always great. I think Paul Giamatti's in that movie too. Paul Giamatti's excellent.
He is. He's one of the producers of the show or whatever. The technical guys, yeah.
His wife in the movie is a really great actress who really isn't anywhere now, but I loved her in that movie. I thought she was fantastic.
She last up back in the 90s.
I can't work like this. It's not professional.
Exactly.
And I can still watch it to this day and not be sick of it. It's a great movie.
Well, no, I know. Speaking of that, I definitely want to. I guess, and we'll go. We'll get back to you.
I'm not saying that movie defines me.
No, of course not. I'm not saying that.
It's a movie that's excellent.
But when I hit that hits home for you, exactly. I think we all have those movies, and I want all of us to kind of maybe pick a couple. Whatever, it could be two or three. I know.
I hope you didn't mind me jumping.
No, that's fine.
I was going to tell you, mine, but
Why don't you just throw one and we'll go around.
Well, what I was going to throw mine, the one movie that does resonate with me, it's Cinema Paradiso. I don't know if you know which
it
is. Foreign movie in Italian about like the homage of film and the history of movies and, like how tribute to movies itself. So, that movie actually resonates, how they used to be censored and they would be, looking at it and expression and about the movie itself, like how the movie theater and how it told the story. So that kind of resonated with me. And that movie gets me every time.
I know you're behind the scenes kind of guy. You love like DVDs, like the extras.
Yeah, I like the behind the scenes.
The production.
That movie resonates in another level. To me, when I watch it, it's not one of my all-time favorites, but it's a fun movie to watch. What I like is it describes what happens with the movie companies, that they manipulate the message coming out of the movie too, even though it's not.
Yeah, it's about movie business.
The business end of things and how the message is. It's kind of like when you're in school, they did that little communications thing where the teacher gave you a word and you whispered that word to the next kid and the next kid, and by the time it got all the
it's
way
a hope
to the
messages
side, the word changes
or whatever the case is, a little kind of
what it showed in a way that this guy wrote a story you could use the movie The Watchmen, for example. The comic book The Watchmen is like totally perverted from where it ended up on screen, even though I kind of like the movie, it's not the same piece of work. And I think that's really what Cinema Paradiso was saying.
Yeah, and it's also about like that, that the way that the little kid did the projector and how he,
it was the whole thing with even though
Anton,
we don't really,
his name.
Right. Even though we don't have like censorship per se, we really do have censorship.
No, it's always
there. Because the companies are censoring it, and the MPAA is censoring things. And we have these external protuberances censoring things, like if you use the social justice warriors that are out there right now. Look, I don't agree with what the Ku Klux Klan says, but we live in a free country, and people have the right to say whatever the heck they want. And you can't stop them from saying what they want to say. What to me, the easiest way to look at it is that you can look at what anybody says. If it's bullcrap, you just they expose themselves for being bullcrap artists, and that's all I'm saying from that. And I think that that is a really good movie, dude.
It is a good movie. It is
yeah, exactly. And that's what I think resonates with me because it's just, you know, like I said, an homage to movies and how he, you know, the character, you know, like a little boy character, you know, tries to become a director after levels. And does all these things and, you know, like how it interprets and what happens in the movie. That really says a lot.
I'm passionate about movies that operate on more than one level, and I think that's a movie that operates on more
than one level. Like I said, because I'm a behind-the-scenes person, you know, like that movie resonates with me.
I got you. Okay. I have two. We'll do one because we're going to go around
again. Why don't we go around and we'll just do one at a time.
Okay. Yeah. The first one, not as good as movie as when you guys mentioned, but it just hits with me, is Stand By Me. That was the adaptation from Stephen King's short story and all that. It's 86, I think it was. River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, the kids who it's like an coming of age story. Kids want to see a dead body because I guess it's the boy was they heard that it was found somewhere. They want to go find it and turn it into authorities and get rewarded.
1986.
And I think Will Wheaton, there we go. Richard Dreyfuss is actually, he's narrating the story. It begins with him. He's one of the kids who's now older. He's got his own family and he's typing on the computer and he's pretty much writing the story about that event with the four kids and all that. The movie's okay. It's good. It's a good movie. Don't get me wrong. It's a fun movie and all that. But for me, it hit home because when I saw that movie, particularly when he's typing, he's talking about his friends and all that, that was the movie that got me wanting to be a writer. George, you know, I write all the time and all that, and I got some stuff published and all that. But watching that movie, I saw the movie after, I was like, okay, I want to do that too. You know, I want to write like he does and tell those kind of home small stories like that. So for me, that changed me moving forward. Okay, that's what I want to do. And I started really more into it, becoming a writer because of Stand By Me. I kind of watched the movie. It's like, okay, because I was young. I was like, 11 years old when the movie came out? Mm-hmm. Probably. I'm damn old.
But it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. But for me, like, okay. And then for me, I hit home because of that. And I was like, okay. And it helped me influence what I've done now for the last, 20 some years and all that. So being a writer, I still like to write and I still do that all the time. Because of that, for that particular reason. So, Mike, what's another one that you got?
Okay, my next movie that kind of it's another movie that's kind of quirky, and it's not a movie that everybody goes like, well, this movie defines me. This movie doesn't really define me, but it kind of that whole genre that this group of people that created these movies really speaks to me. The comedy really speaks to me because it's not something that's scripted. I mean, they get a direction and then they go off with it. It's Best in Show. I think Best in Show is an incredible movie on a lot of levels. I think the characters are awesome. And if you watch the other, the partner movies of that, like Spinal Tap, or which is another fantastic movie, and Waiting for Guffman, which is, I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's really an interesting study. And the ironic thing is Christopher Guest, who's really the kind of the head guy of this troupe of people that are doing these mockumentaries, plays different characters in each one. He plays like in Best in Show, he's like this down home goofball that has like a bloodhound that he brings to a dog show. In Spinal Tap, he plays a lead guitar player for Spinal Tap, and he's funny because they all have these really bad fake British accents, and it's funny. But this one goes to 11. to me, that's just funny stuff. It's stupid humor, but there's a ton of movies that are out there that I'll be flipping the channels and go like, I've seen that movie before. I don't want to watch it again. And that's a movie that every time I see it when I'm flipping, I'll stop and watch the movie for a while or keep watching the movie. And there's just so much funny stuff going on in there. The ensemble cast is amazing. You always have Eugene Levy, who's really good. And it really bothers me that he's one of those guys that has only made a couple of really good movies, and he's really uber talented and doesn't get good movies. And I don't know if it's his agent's fault or his fault, or he just takes crap movies or what it is he does.
There's a good chance of that.
Right. But I mean, there's all kinds of, I was reading something about Robert Redford actually, who has done some really cool movies, and he says now that he just takes whatever anybody offers him. He doesn't care.
He's age. He doesn't give a shit.
No, and you know, he's got money. Yeah. He's got FU money. He's the one that created the Sundance Film Festival. Yeah. I mean, he's no slouch.
Yeah. Right.
So what's your next one, George?
No, I mean, I think it's not like a specific, but it's more like a collection. Okay. I don't know if you want to like call it like that.
Yeah, it's fine or whatever.
Because I think it's, you know, a lot of people know about me at this part. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like all these movies where they put like Stand and Deliver. You know,
Stand
like,
and Deliver.
Yeah, you know, Stand and Deliver, Dangerous Minds, you know, the Great Debaters, you know, like movies like that. You know, Renaissance Man, for example, that I talked about last week.
Yeah, Freedom Riders.
You know, like movies like that about a teacher or even, what's that movie, Lean on Me. You know, with Freeman being the principal, you know, like those movies where the teachers try to go to a rough environment and, you know, they try to turn the school around or try to, you know.
What was the one with the guy from Miami Vice?
Stand Deliver.
Was that Stand and Deliver?
Yeah, with Luke Diamond Phillips. The bodies they can pose in my locker.
It bothers me though when I see him because I know he doesn't even speak Spanish.
Yeah, and what's the guy's name? The teacher's name?
I know who you're talking about.
Oh my god.
Edward James Olmos.
What's it? My God, you're gonna come up with it before I can. What's the name of that stupid teacher? Because we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, it's Mercadante.
Jaime Escalante. God, I can't wait for
it. Yeah, that's
gonna kill me.
I was trying to remember. It was Jaime Escalante.
He's Mexican.
You know,
yeah,
he's Mexican, but but Lou Diamond Phillips isn't Hispanic at all.
No, yeah, not, but he always plays that role.
But yeah,
like, what's the other cat that gets a Hispanic roles that's never Hispanic? I have to my brain
falls. Tell me a movie. Okay.
No, there's a couple dudes like that. It just bothers me.
I'm sure there are.
There's a ton of Hispanic actors out there. What the hell?
So it's like I said, those collections of movies, you know, like they always kind of resonate. Every time it's on, for example, I try to watch it, you know, like I mentioned it last week, you know, with Renaissance Man.
What about like American History X or something like that?
I mean, it's kind of
great movie, fantastic movie, but yeah, not quite.
But no, I'm thinking about more about the educator, like trying to go with a rough environment,
you work in a rough school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what happens is that it's also in Renaissance Man is a changing of careers kind of thing. You know, where he was an ad executive, and then you know he tries to go on employment, and they give him a job in the military. So he goes to teach, you know, to the rough kids in that environment.
Right.
And even a Renaissance Man is, you know, a person that knows a lot about everything, like kind of different things, but it's not a master of any.
Right. Yeah. What's it called?
Jack of all trades.
Master of none. So yeah. I mean, in a way, that's kind of describes me in a little bit. You know, I'm not trying to say I'm a master of many things, but you know what I'm saying.
No, just jack of all trades.
It does resonate with me. You know, in that kind of movie. So you know, like that collection of movies, kind of every time it's on. You know, it kind of resonated with me.
Another one I got. This is actually legitimately a really good movie. And I love this movie. It's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Excellent. Another Jim Carrey movie.
I would say his best film.
Truman Show's right up there with it.
It's good. For me, my personal. That hits me more.
One is more of a kind of pulls at your heartstrings.
It does. Because two levels for me. Because obviously it's a good depiction of what goes on, what happens in a relationship, which we've all been there. Anybody who says they haven't, they're lying.
Actually, I had met you just after that. Okay. I'm going through some major crap with my ex. And it was, you know, this movie kind of spoke to me on a weird level at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know that it still does, but it was a really good movie.
A couple of things. Cause I think we've all been to that point. We've had that every breakup is bad. Otherwise it wouldn't end, but we've all been there in a position where, and I guess this isn't a romantic comedy where they kind of make light of it or the cliches are in there and they get back together. Everything's happily ever after. This movie is the total opposite, but more specifically, just the premise is great, but I always had this premise before and this movie kind of brought into line, explained it better than I could. And it goes back to, I had a good friend of mine years ago where she moved up to someone in Connecticut, was living with a guy, And I remember we're with her brother, and we're at his house, and she lived with them at the time before she moved out. And she's went back. They broke up. The one really shitty. She came back down, and she told her brother, "Hey, please take away any." She had a bunch of pictures of this guy and them together. She's like, "Take all the pictures away. I don't want anything that resembles him in the house and other stuff." So it's almost, she's trying to erase him from her memory, just like.
These yeah, just like work. The character, yeah.
And I always thought to myself, I never understood that. Why would you want to do that? You know, I didn't believe in that. And I still have pictures of ex-girlfriends. They'll ask me, who's that? And ex-girlfriend, whatever. And they find it weird. I'm like, it's not weird. It's part of who you are, part of a memory, which is a good thing. Why would you want to erase it? It's because it isn't shitty. Doesn't mean it was a bad experience. And I think Jim Carrey realized that right. When he was trying to erase, he's like, no, hold on. I don't want to do this. This is a, right, I want to cherish.
If I forget this part of my life, I'll forget this
exactly.
Part of
my life. Exactly.
Yeah, kind of like a
chain. It's a chain.
Exactly.
Thing,
so and I always, just, yeah, I always told people that they never quite got it. And then this movie kind of explained
it's
away.
It's a very, could, yeah. It's a very
it's genius movie. I think yeah. It's a fantastic, on the underrated movie. It's a grossly underrated movie. I think it's a fantastic.
Well, I think it should be a must want to see for anybody that wants to get in a relationship with anybody.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
And the messages yeah. that it tells you yeah. that it's very important to, you know, cherish everything that happens to you, whether yeah. you want it or not, because every little thing that happens to you in your life kind of forms your personality moving
yes,
forward.
Yes, exactly.
Your life is like a boulder that, like a snow boulder that's building as it rolls down the hill. And then when you get to the end and...
Yeah, well, and it's because, that's because, snow, yeah, well, you right. have someone died, which is inevitable. It's part of life. Right, that's right. Who we are. Why you erase them from the memory? Like they're erasing who you are, part of who you are. Right. It doesn't make sense, whether it be a girlfriend, boyfriend, you
There's
know,
a
whatever.
Whole psychological thing with
exactly.
it, but I think it's a very good movie.
Oh, really? And that's why they just hit home, because I meant that's exactly what I'm talking about when I told
people
that.
Who directed that? That's
I'll tell you.
I should know
He's
that.
Really
to be honest
good.
With you.
He's really good.
He is. I should know. George looked that up real quick, so now I'm curious. But again, yeah. that one's out for me. That's a grossly underrated yeah. flick. That's for
no,
sure.
No,
all that.
I think that and I saw that movie in the theater.
Yeah, it's Michelle yeah. Gondry.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
sounds familiar. Kristen Dunst was in that.
Right.
He did Be Kind, Rewind. He did The Green Hornet.
Really? Man.
Yeah.
So he struck gold with that.
Yeah, along with Seth Rogen.
Yes, he gave us,
he gave us one and all that.
Shoot myself. Be Kind, Rewind's a pretty good movie.
That one's okay. Okay, yeah, that's not bad and all that. So, but that's good. That's good. That's good. That's give you guys out the little taste of what we're about and get a little personal.
Yeah,
we'll probably do more of these things down
we'll
the road.
Exactly.
Get you guys to get to know us.
Just like, yeah, finish out the third real quick.
You want to? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'll do the third.
No, go ahead.
Basically for me, it would be the character of Wes and the Princess Bride. You know how the character of
is he,
Wes
the
Princess Bride
always amazing.
Yeah, the Princess Bride, but you know how the whole movie itself,
yeah, with the,
but
as you,
know
you
how,
wish,
as you wish, but you know how it's more like the fairy tale element of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like and how it's a grandfather trying to tell his grandson like the whole thing.
Yeah, he's reading the story.
He's
Fred
reading
Savage,
the story.
And,
yeah, he's reading the story.
Pretty
yeah,
pretty
with Andre the Giant.
That's not bad.
But yeah, you know, like it's the Princess Bride with the character of
I
Wes.
Love that movie. It's inconceivable.
It's inconceivable.
There is nothing bad about that movie. There's not one thing bad about
it's all good.
That movie.
Yeah,
it's all good.
It's just one of those movies that I can't think about. When I saw that movie, that's another movie I went and saw in the theater, and you guys were probably kids when it came out.
Yeah, I want to see it because Andre the Giant, and I was a big wrestling fan back then. Like, oh my God, he's on a movie.
Yeah, so
but I never got a chance to see it.
So it was that one.
I think that was his only line in the movie.
Probably was. Like,
yeah, it was the Princess Bride, the never ending story, and the last one would be just you know the whole concept of you know imagination and mm-hmm. trying to you know Inside Out by Pixar. You know
I love Inside Out.
It was a very good movie.
Yes, I'll give it. That one hit home for me big time.
My wife loves that movie.
I love that. Yeah, that one tugs the heartstrings like a mother.
Just because of like
I updated that to me too.
Of the first 10 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. You know how Riley has the personality islands that make up who you are. You know that kind of hit what it was about.
And also about the. And what's the pink, that little pink elephant, the ping pong, whatever they call it.
Yeah, ding dong, or bimbo,
whatever it was, not pitbull.
Because we all had that.
Imaginary character, and like, you kind of forget about it, and they did a really good job portraying what could have happened.
Yeah, like what happens with the memories. Yeah, it's all kitty, but it's like it.
See, that to me is sad. It wasn't a horror door to the door. That was sad.
Yeah, you know, like how,
you sociopath.
No, you know, like, well, those islands like kind of make up who you are. Yeah. So might be the same. Like, you know, I have a soccer island.
Something like that. That's one of the recent movies that I could say that really hit home with.
That was a very good movie.
There's tons of movies.
Pixar has knocked a bunch of stuff out of the park, and we should talk about other movies like that too.
Pixar.
So like those kind of hit with me. You know, like Inside Out, like the islands that kind of hit with you.
I like that kind of pseudo. Another movie that did that to me, by the way, in a weird way, was Back to the Future, the first Back to the Future. Really? Yeah. Okay. Not because it was a great, great movie. It is a great movie.
It was a good one, yeah.
It is.
But,
the first one.
But because of the time travel issues in there. And that's really what kind of enhanced to me when 12 Monkeys came out later. 12 Monkeys to me showed like, oh my God, you know, if we go back, if you like go back in time, you could like screw up the past, and when things come up, they'd be totally different, or they might actually be the same because you're creating a different timeline. So, I mean, to me, it's like, it's an interesting movie, and those kind of movies speak to me in a lot of ways.
I agree, because I'm huge into time travel. Big, you know, like Back to the Future, 12 Monkeys.
Like those Time Machine or movies like that.
No, that's bad. But I like the book. Even watching like shows like Quantum Leap, you know, back in the day.
Quantum Leap was another show.
11/22/63.
I want to get into that. I want to watch that anyway. But yeah, because I love time travel. But even Terminator is kind of time travel-y, but a few movies, any movies, haven't really gotten it right, in my opinion. They've never.
The first Back to the Future did.
Well, the concept. They explained the concept of the... Well, the second one
don't
elaborated.
The second one, ruined it. They ruined the second one.
No, I'm not even going to talk about
the second one. No, that's just the concept of time travel.
When I left that movie, I was like, wow. I think it was 20 or 21 when that movie came out.
I'm disagreeing with you because from it's just my guess. Obviously, there's no exact science to time travel.
Right.
But with me, obviously, it's all almost like, you know, we go back to Game of Thrones, which you talked about in our Game of Thrones recap, which we already have out. But a whole is a one big circle. It's cyclical. And you can't really change anything. For example, Marty, he got into the door and went back, changed the past, and now he's... Right, better.
But is it? That's the thing that's the question, and that's why I like that movie. Is okay. It didn't do good as far as explaining the folding time theorem.
It didn't.
But you did have the picture with his brother and sister disappearing from the picture. And I thought that related. He needed to make certain things happen.
In the first one, yes.
It did, but the problem is it took too long. Once you make a change, for me, it's instantaneous. Like, the pictures are fading.
I think the concept is you're letting stuff creep in from the second and third movie.
What about the butterfly effect? Because they, I mean, it was a bad movie, but the changes weren't instantaneous.
That's what that movie did well, was the instantaneous change.
That's what I'm talking about.
Even Quan Leap did that instantaneous change, or something happened. It's instant, you know, but ultimately it goes back to where Marty McFly would no need to go back to change anything because it was already changed to begin with. So it's like a chicken and the egg, what came first.
No, that's why I think that kind of got me interested in that genre of
that's fair as far as that's fair. Yeah.
But I think that 12 Monkeys did it better.
It did.
Because
yes.
12 Monkeys, to me, the Bruce Willis 12 Monkeys
right,
I'm talking
of course,
about.
Right.
And the consequential TV show to me is very good too.
I haven't seen
you
it
get
yet.
A chance to see it.
I heard it's good.
It's your brother's the one that turned me on to it.
Yeah, I got
to
see that.
But I think I'm on episode 4 or 5 now. I just don't have time to watch all the TV I'm watching.
Yeah,
right. But 12 Monkeys kind of jumps out at me because there's just so much cool stuff going on.
That's what I liked about it, because he's the kid. It was all meant to
be
at the end of the day.
And then he saw it, and it all came around.
Ultimately, you can't change anything. It's all the way it's supposed to have happened. And 12 Monkeys did it well.
Right.
Exactly. Because he saw himself as a young kid.
Worked his way through the mystery, got through from the 12 Monkeys. Oh, my, this is a red herring.
Exactly. Yeah.
And by the time he figured it out, it was too late. And then he saw the guy that he met at before.
And so ultimately, they couldn't change it. Even the scientists knew they couldn't change. They just want to know what it was so they can cure it. Because they knew they couldn't change the past.
Right.
So they want to know how it started.
So they sacrificed him.
Basically. Exactly. Which is the way it's supposed to be. But either way, we're getting off that. But yeah,
sorry.
Right.
But
But 12 Monkeys is a... Is another good one, all that. So, but anyway, we'll get off that. We'll definitely do similar shows like this down the road. We'll pick different subjects
and
into movies and all that.
On this because I think that all of y'all have movies like this that we could probably talk about. I've watched a ton of movies in my life, and there's movies that have affected me one way or the other. And I could probably, we could sit here and do
for
a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, see how you guys always give me live about Once Upon a Time. And I think, you know,
that's war deserves. So that's not even start. Let's not go on the road. Let's not go on the road.
We'll save that for another day.
Let's save another day. Let's save that. Yeah. It's for your own benefit.
Fine, but it was the literary characters here.
No, we're all right with it.
We talked about it once upon a time as it is.
We did.
But either way, so let's get to a couple of little tidbits before we get out of here. I know, Mike, you said you saw Angry Birds.
Yes.
Well, I think
George has seen it too. I was surprised, delightfully surprised, that it was better than I thought it was going to be. Look, it's not any Pixar movie. It's not even a DreamWorks movie. Yeah. I think it's a very good movie. It's fun. There's stuff that goes on. I love the little bird and the yellow bird in that steals Quicksilver's gimmick in the middle of the movie, which I thought was funny.
Okay.
They did it as kind of a joke.
Well, of course. But, it's parody, I'm sure.
That was my favorite character, George, out of all the characters, was the yellow fast bird was funny. He had a great personality, but there's a bunch of other, it was a fun movie. It wasn't anything that's going to bring home an Oscar. It wasn't any award-winning writing that you haven't seen before, but it wasn't completely a piece of crap. And I have to give it to him for that, for taking limited material and turning it into something entertaining.
It was a cash grab, but it wasn't exactly a cash grab. But then they did something legitimate with it.
Well, it's not a cash grab in that they've already marketed the crap.
Exactly.
It was already a marketed entity. They just made a movie. Milk it more.
Well, they want to milk it. It's a property.
So many opportunities run at that, and we could all name video game movies that have been just horrible.
Like every single one of them.
Right, every one of them.
Well, we did have episode. Can they make a good movie?
And hoping to see Warcraft to see if that changes. Based on what I heard, no. But
look, it's not going to go down as one of the best movies of the year. It's not going to even go as down as one of the middle movies of the year. But it was better than I thought it was going to be.
I give it props for
putting an entertaining piece of movie out there.
That's fair enough. It definitely was no Zootopia.
Yeah, it wasn't Zootopia.
That was very entertaining.
Yeah. One thing I kind of want to mention, because we kind of touched base on it. We talked about it before as far as, because we were talking about the money and the box office and obviously Batman v Superman. We always go back to that and whatever. It didn't succeed as well as they wanted to.
Made money.
Captain America has done well, but even Captain America
Making the money that they thought.
Well, what's making? It's all above a billion. It's making money, but
it's not making what they thought it would.
I think it opened at 186. They were projecting over 200 based off the prior Avengers, because this was almost like an Avengers movie.
I think we're looking at the downside of a slope for them in this genre of movies.
It's fatigue.
Fatigue. I think what it is people that don't really care about the characters aren't coming to the movies as much anymore. My wife watched Civil War with me, and her take on the movie was, and to me that tells me that it's not appealing to the, like, where the first Avengers was, she was like, I really like this movie. Right. And if you rewatch Avengers right now,
it doesn't hold up as well.
And it's only,
agreed. No, I agree 100%.
7 years old, 5 years old?
Yeah, it doesn't hold up. It's a good movie. I like it, but it doesn't hold up.
Right.
But because even like, I think X-Men opened up at,
is it 5 years old? How old is it?
I don't remember. I think 5 or 6 years old.
I believe it's 2011.
So it is five years old. Yeah.
I think X-Men opened up this weekend at 68. If you count today, it's projecting on 80, 85 million. The prior X-Men, I did 110 the same weekend last year. It's a huge, significant drop off between one and the other.
Right. I think fatigue is probably the wrong word to use. But
The Avengers is 2012. Okay, the first Avengers. Yeah, four years.
I don't think they're tired of it. I just think they're not as interested in it.
Well, it's not the same thing. It's like fatigue. Like, they just don't care. Like, you know, no. they see so many. Because before.
No, I think the fans still come out. And I think they can still make money on these movies.
The true fans come up, but the casual fan, they're like, because the thing is, to them, we all know the difference. We know Captain America, the difference between that and X-Men.
They knocked a dinger when it came to money with Deadpool. They didn't spend as much money on it, and they acknowledged it in the movie itself.
But that was the first one that came out. Now we went to the fourth superhero movie, and every movie's making progressively less money, it seems like, anyway. Even the drop-off in the second week for Captain America, which is well-received and reviewed, dropped 60%, which is a huge drop. People just like, yeah. You see, now this is a fourth one. And to the casual fan, another one here. We just have one two weeks ago, and then we have Bambi Superman and Deadpool.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. I just think it's an interesting thought.
I'm curious.
And,
yeah.
And, Are these movies going by way of the... I just, you know, I hate to see the other side of it because it's always been exciting to me that the stuff that I really wanted them to make in the movies, they're actually making in the movies.
Which is cool. I love it.
And they're not making Iron Man into like a robot or so, you know, just totally screwing up the stuff. They're
the source material is being respected for the most part.
The source material is sort of being respected.
It is being respected for the most part. For the most part. But either way.
But I think that it's a very good thought. And I don't think it's fatigue. I think it's a natural downhill slope because the fans that are fans are still going to come out to the movies. They're not going to come out 27 times to see it anymore.
No.
and it's not like Star Wars that has a mass of humanity that follows
them. Yeah, and I think with Star Wars, it's been so long. That was its own entity.
I think that the Star Trek reception Star Trek, the new Star Trek movie gets, what's it called? Beyond?
Beyond, yeah.
Yeah, so
I think that's going to be interesting to see where that
goes. I don't think that's going to do well.
That's my thought.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, though, do you think that the increase in box office price has something to do with it? Because, you would go and see a movie for $350 Now it's like $15.
Because look at what Star Wars did, obviously. Ticket prices haven't increased between now and 2012, and that movie made $200 million. Jurassic World did 210, whatever it was. So those properties make money. But again, Jurassic World is not a superhero movie. It's his own property, so it's different. But these Marvel movies and again, I think especially Marvel, people who watch it,
one or two bad movies, and it will sack the franchise.
Which is why I think
look at what Jurassic did after this. Jurassic Lost World was so bad, and then the third Jurassic Park was the worst. The pits, and I think that people lost interest in that movie. They had to wait 10 or 15 years.
It was more than that.
I think it's two things. One, especially with Marvel, the diehards are going to watch every damn movie. We were going to watch them, but the casual fan, like for you to really enjoy Civil War, to get the most out of it, you really literally have to watch almost every single Marvel movie for the most part. Particularly Winter Soldier, the first Captain America, Age of Ultron, because it kind of laid the seed.
I think that puts too much pressure on casual movie fans.
Yeah, they haven't seen. It's like I'm not going to watch it because I haven't seen these movies. They're like,
yeah, but I mean, even Civil War.
They're not as vested in this.
But even Civil War, like when they're going over the initiative, like of what happened, what they had to sign, you know, like they tell you, oh, New York, and then they give you a little flashback. Then they tell you the other scene, whatever. But if like I said, a diehard fan will know.
But if you never saw Age of Ultron, you would know.
You have no idea.
If you didn't see Winter Soldier, which made money, but it wasn't a billion-dollar movie. And we're sort of just essential to the Civil War. It's the basis of it with Bucky and all that.
The other part of this, I think, is the actual writing itself has not been on point for Civil War and Age of Ultron.
I think it has to do a lot with the studio rights and who owns what property.
I think most people, the casual fan doesn't care about any of that. They don't care who's that. They don't care who plays what.
Fine, they don't care about that, but you still have to put that in because maybe you can't put a certain character because, you know, like...
I think there's some validation to what George is saying. I think that the studios are very protective of the IP. Okay.
Well, yeah. You can't use any of the X-Men because it's owned by a different studio. You can't use the Fantastic Four. You can't use any of those people.
I get what you're saying, but to us, it's a big deal. To the casual fan, which really makes up 80% of the ticket sales, they don't give a shit.
Right, and then they don't care. Fantastic Four.
X-Men is Marvel.
That it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they don't care.
And they go, Marvel just made a dumpster fire movie.
Yeah, you go to the streets and ask them about that. They're like, huh? Or Spider-Man, they're like, Spider-Man's with it. They have no clue. They don't care about that. Spider-Man's in it. They don't give a shit. We get excited.
Remember, we talked about the movie business. You know, it is a movie business.
I think that with the writing, the issues with the writing for the last two big Marvel movies,
and DC.
I'm not talking about DC. I'm talking about Marvel.
But it makes a difference because people. It does make a difference.
I'm not talking about Marvel. The last two movies, the writing has not been good. I mean, it's Civil War is a good movie from a lot of perspectives, but from a storyline perspective, if you just looked at the storyline and you strip away all the IP with it and you just look at the storyline wasn't good enough for it to be a movie. If you would have presented that storyline...
Well, it's not a standalone movie.
But if you took away everything Marvel-related, take away the IP... and you present that storyline to a movie studio, there's not enough there to make a movie.
No, of course not. No.
So it's basically, is this like the almost the ending of superhero movies?
No.
Is it like, are they going to make less and less money now?
I think that casual fans are not as interested in fighting with all the fanboys to get to go see the movie the first weekend. They'll see it eventually, but I don't think that they're going to go on Thursday night at midnight to watch
it. They might not watch it at all. They might not even care. When you have six, this year we got six superhero movies in total. You know, I'll see the next one.
If it's a character you don't give a flying flip about.
Exactly.
I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do as much business.
But you see, that's what I'm talking about. You have different entities. You got Guardians of the Galaxy, then you have Doctor Strange, then you have Civil War.
People get confused.
Then you have Suicide Squad. Then you have this, and you know the Flash. If they were going to do the Flash, then you got.
I think a lot of Wonder Woman.
You got all these characters.
It's a lot. And they'll make money. I think eventually people. And like, oh, another
basically
one.
Every
like, it's not special anymore. Even when we saw Age of Ultron, that's not a great movie, but it just seen all together, it's like, hey, we've seen it already. What's next?
I mean, it's like X-Men, every month.
We've seen X-Men 100 times.
I felt disappointed with Age of Ultron.
Oh, I was too, but for many reasons. But again, people, just, it's not like Avengers came out, was a big deal because the first time we saw.
I'm glad you agreed with me, by the way, about Civil War, about the writing.
That wasn't great. No,
I'm just saying.
It wasn't bad writing, it was okay.
No, there's a lot of blind fanboys that want to. Claw my eyes out about saying the truth.
Well, I always look at the writing, which is why for me, Batman v Superman really failed, because that's what I always talk about. For me, it was the writing. Civil War had some of the same issues too. It was just more entertaining than something else.
I agree with you.
But yeah, that's the problem. But that's what Marvel does, because Marvel can't get. Which I mentioned before in a prior show, they get in their own way because they have to continue this universe.
I think
so. They all got to tie in together, and it's hard to write an independent movie when you have to tie it into 20 others.
To tell you that a movie is a good movie or not is if you strip away the IP, is the story still interesting?
Agreed.
And the answer to all these Marvel movies, except Ant-Man, which I felt like the story was good in that movie.
I felt like if you took away the IP.
It would still be an interesting story.
Iron Man, I think the first Iron Man.
The first Iron Man.
Hasn't met anything
there.
Yeah, agree. On that one.
Also, Spider-Man 2, which I felt was a pretty good story.
Oh, I was thinking in.
No, I know.
Right, I agree. There's been a few.
There's a couple.
I thought Winter Soldier was a very well-written movie.
Well, I felt like the three Dark Knight trilogies.
Agree, yes.
Yeah, the Christopher Nolan.
But those movies carry more weight. But for the most part, yes, like the Thor and whatever. Kind of.
I think if you strip away the Avengers, it's terrible. The story is really bad.
The Avengers story is terrible.
Yeah.
It's just it's so rated because people, again, it was what they gave us.
I think that's where you expose the business in a way, as we say, wait a minute, are we being worked by sub-quality writers?
Of course.
Or a team of writers?
We like the spectacle.
Right.
It's cool.
Right.
See Iron Man's fighting Captain America. It's great. It looks awesome. I'm entertained by it, no doubt.
I think that's why we have this meeting.
But it carries no weight. But it carries, at the end of the day, you forget it. They forget about movies for the most part. Like, 5 years, like, so, what? What? Oh, that's a cool movie. Like, Avengers,
you know,
now doesn't hold up.
There's movies that don't stand up. It's
a lot
funny
of
because
Avengers.
Superman 2, which is the...
I like Superman 2.
Yeah, the Christopher Reeve.
I saw it like three days ago.
Neo
and it was still really good.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones. One of the better...
Neo before Zod, dude. I mean, right. That's awesome.
Neo before Zod.
I love Superman. Yeah, I love the first couple. I mean, the first one was great. It's cheesy. It can't be, but...
It can be, but it's good.
But it's good. It's good.
You know, to me, better than Man of Steel. I mean...
Yeah, I agree.
Man of Steel was a good movie.
Well, there were a lot of people that were angry at the end of Man of Steel.
See,
that's all the fans, not the character.
It's not that. It's just all the fanboys, all the destruction. But Marvel does the exact same thing.
Well, even in Civil War. Like Civil War, Apocalypse.
Oh, my God. They destroyed everything.
No repercussion about that.
But Civil War was Civil War about the destruction in the previous three movies. And no one says shit. Also, Man of Steel does it. And it's an uproar. Oh, my God.
No, the funny thing is, I forgot to mention about it in our review, but I was like, does everybody have super, you know, like nuclear weapons? Because everybody in their abuela had, you know, like a missile going up everywhere.
It was the 80s, dude. Actually, back then, I was, if you remember, I know we were young, but that was a big thing back then. So I'll give it credit for that. Everybody had.
Because everybody had like the major superpowers, everybody had rockets everywhere.
We had them, the Russians had it.
All the Russian.
Well,
back then it was Soviet Union, so.
Countries had nukes. We had nymphs in Europe.
Because it looked like everybody.
But
had
they were there. They were occupied. I'm saying. So, trust me, there was a lot. So that was legit.
I was like, wait a minute.
I'm going to go to jail for that.
Nah, you're fine.
No, but we had. India had a nuke. I think Pakistan had a nuke. Yeah. Maybe Pakistan had a nuke.
They probably did.
China definitely had nukes.
So they talked about everybody.
We had nukes in Japan. We had nukes in South Korea. Probably
there were abundant. So that was I was fine. That wasn't like a stretch or beyond that. So that's fine.
That's not off the map.
Yeah, exactly. It was okay. It's like if they were to say, you know, Greece and okay and whatever. But but no, for the most part, no. But either way, so that's all the time we got. George, before we go here, if you want to do your thing?
I was going to give a plug to, you know, Fabian, Isaac, and Anthony again for letting us in, you know, for the X-Men, you know, and just for continuing to listen to our show, you know, and basically Lou from the BX and, you know, for continuing to support us and everything that we do, you know, always listen to them. They're pretty good. You know, he's giving us a review on iTunes. And, you know, like, again, if you guys listen to us, if you like us, whether you like us, don't like us, you know, we appreciate the feedback. Give us a review. You know, that's how we, you know, get more people out there to see us and get our show noticed. You know, so give us a review, comment on our Facebook page.
Like us on iTunes.
Visit us on the Facebook.
Yeah. Like our Facebook page.
You know, and
comment on our Facebook page. Send us messages on our Facebook page. Leave a review of us on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and you know, like if you, like I said, if you do that, you know, we'll mention you here on our show. You know, like we'll, you know, we'll give you guys a, you know, a shout out. You know, let you know that, you know, we appreciate the feedback, and continue our, you know, feed our need to go to the movies. You know, that's what we're here.
Always stealing my lines. Go ahead, Mike.
Always. Okay,
first of all, I just want to give a shout out to Chewy who posted who shared my wife's website, girlslife.com, GIRLZLYFE.com. He shared it and was speaking about his appearance on our show that's going to be released this week, too. That was a review of the last two episodes of Game of Thrones. I want to thank Kevin MacLeod for his music. We love that music. I want to thank all of our fans that listen and respond back to us. I want to also thank, you know, everybody we've met. I also want to give wish Cody Rhodes well, who just left the WWE.
No.
I think I'm a huge fan of his. I'm sorry that he had to go, but I think he's
He blasted WWE.
On his way out. But I want to wish him well. I think he's a good cat. And I was a huge fan of his dad, so I want to wish him the best.
The American Dream.
You know, as always, my dog Chloe's amazing. My wife's amazing. My kids are, you know, on my good side this week. So I'll just say nice things about them. Just, you know, go out there, spend money, have a good time, and you know, vote for who you want to vote for, and don't let all these other external protuberances bother you. Just vote for who you want to vote for.
Vote for me, damn it.
I'll vote for you.
Vote for Pedro.
I absolutely would vote for Jose over these two schmendricks.
I agree with you there. And I don't know what I'm doing. But again, thanks for all echoing what these guys have said already. Thank you for all the listeners out there. Again, Fabian recently, who we met at the X-Men premiere. He liked us on Facebook and subscribed to my movie review channel on YouTube. We appreciate that. And he actually got me tickets for The Conjuring 2. So we were reviewing that kind of early. So I'm excited about that. We'll have that review up. We'll have that review up by Thursday.
Friday?
No, the 10th.
Oh, wow.
So a couple weeks early. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. And you guys have a good weekend. Have a good Memorial Day.